Hey, how you doing? Pete Cooper, Heart of the Father Ministries. Just checking in with you guys to see how things are going. Look, I'm coming through some stuff that's just like causing me to climb up and to move into greater levels of anointing, and that is through prayer and fasting. And if you haven't thought about doing that, if you haven't ever moved into that direction, I would behoove you to do so. You know, there's just something about killing off the flesh and feeding your spirit that will cause you to see things differently. And I'm not saying that I don't raid the candy jar at 6:30 at night, but right now I'm on day 10 of prayer and fasting, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You know, if I could get up earlier, or if I wanted to get up earlier, I could have breakfast at 5, but, you know, I'm not. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Doc is still traveling, and I am here. I want to bring a word to you. The word for the Cooper family this year is the word challenge. And one of the things about a challenge is it can be defined a couple of different ways, right? So this idea behind challenge, as far as its dictionary defined, right? Dictionary defined. Number one, to demand as due or deserved, to require something, an event that challenges an explanation, or to order, to halt, and to prove identity. There's a challenge, the sentry challenge of a stranger. Third, to dispute, especially as being unjust, invalid, or outmoded. Number five, to confront or defy boldly, as in challenging your critics, to call out, or to duel or combat. That's a challenge. To invite something into competition. To confront something and to invite into competition. And the verse that kind of highlighted that for our family was found in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. I'm going to share those with you out of the New King James. It says this, God's word says, "Therefore, prepare yourself and arise and speak to them all that I commanded you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. 18, for behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar, a bronze wall against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, says the Lord God, to deliver you." That's the word of the Lord. So, here we are, right? To call out or to duel in combat, to invite into competition. You know, God is calling us into places that I sometimes wonder if we get the fact that we're being called out, each of us. And it's not just people in leadership that are being called out. It is, you know, everyday people as to how they are going to operate within the kingdom of God when God said to go out and to do, right? Like in your Luke 10 or your Matthew 10, what the apostles were sent out to do, the do part. And I think that we reserve that. We go, oh, well, that was just the apostles, you know. I mean, God called the apostles out. Look, He called the disciples. Oh, they were just the disciples. Well, what about the 72? Were they disciples as well, right? 72 of them. You don't hear another word about those guys in the scriptures. Look, they were just like us in that they were living life. They were in the times. They had heard the word. They gathered unto the word. They started to follow and they started to listen and to do the things that Jesus told them to do. When was the last time that you went out? My sister just told me that they went out, and part of the deal for her to go to school there at Rodney Howard Brown's School of Ministry, one of the things they have to do is they have to do street evangelism. They have to do witnessing. She told me that they went out door to door into this neighborhood. They went out to do knocking on doors in a neighborhood. 19 people they prayed for. They had 19 decisions for Christ. That's just amazing to me. I think that the ground is ready to receive the seed if you're willing to sow the seed. You know, think about that. Are you willing to sow the seed? Because if you're willing to sow the seed, and it's not, hey, can I pray for you? It is, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you right now. Right? Just in the way that that is phrased is powerful. Amen? Because what we're trying to do is to be assertive and get people. Look, I know that we're like, oh, well, you know, you got to make sure that you have a discipleship program before you start going out and witnessing to people, you know. Well, you know, when you go out there to preach into the open air out there in India, you know, how many, don't you have any kind of a follow-up? Or, you know, it's just irresponsible. No, it's not irresponsible to preach the word of God. Jesus didn't say that it's irresponsible to preach the word unless there was a discipleship program set up beforehand. If you have one, great. But look, to lay aside the fact that God doesn't know what he's doing and that he's giving this responsibility unto the saints to do this thing, he has a plan. God has a plan, just like he had a plan for you to move into the things that God had calls us into. Sometimes we drop that. I drop that a number of times throughout my life. But look, I'm here to not drop that anymore. I don't want to drop it. You don't want to drop it. You know, you've faithfully come into these podcasts listening, and I'm believing that you're hearing a fire come off of this particular saint right here and saying, look, we've been called to do the things that God has called us to do, that we don't have to shy back. We don't have to run into the traditions of men like, oh, yeah, well, you know, it doesn't, you know, we have to be responsible when we're sharing the word. Where does it say that you have to be responsible in sharing the word? Right? Where's it written? So, I mean, if you want to send me a comment, you certainly can. And tell me that, well, in the Word of God, it says, look, you can't be irresponsible. Look, we're laying hands on the sick. When you lay hands on sick people and they recover, understand this, get this. This is super powerful because this is what I realized when I was preaching over in Africa and India, is that when you lay hands on the sick and they recover, you can't stop them. They are there. They know that there is a God and that they know that Jesus Christ healed them. They know that. It doesn't stop there. When you cast out demons and devils, people understand what has happened to them, that they've been given a freedom, that there's been a yoke of bondage that's been pulled off of them in order for them to now that they can do their work. They can do what they've been called to do. You know, people give into this ministry because, well, I don't know. There's a lot of different reasons why people do. I think mainly it's because that we preach the gospel, but that's not the only thing that we do anymore. We're now boring wells into villages where people drink from ponds that cattle drink from and urinate in and defecate in. And they bring that water in containers and jugs and they haul it for 2 to 5 miles and they bring that water home and then they boil it to kill any kind of contaminant in it. And then they use that water to drink and they use that water to cook. Look, nobody should be living like that. We had been given an opportunity to drill a well. And so we did. We have now drilled 3 wells. And I'll tell you, this is something that I got from another minister. And it's the idea that when I wake up in the morning, I try to remember the fact that, hey, there are hundreds of kids right now that are drinking clean water because there's a well in their village. And they come from all around to get that water. And it's free to them. Not only that, but they're actually now men and women that are putting seed into the ground, and they're actually going to be able to see it through to harvest, and they're going to be able to bring in a harvest without being sick in between when they planted it and when they harvested it. The kids are actually going to be able to go to school without being sick. These are powerful things. If you want to participate in that, then participate in that. Sow your seed into that. Sow your seed into ministries where you know that they're doing that kind of work. Don't be irresponsible with where you sow. I would say that to you. But look, this is the thing. This is what we've been called to do. This is what we're doing. This is what this ministry is doing. We just got dates now to go back into Tanzania in April and in September. Dates are set right now. We are going to do five-day crusades twice this year. And that's just in Africa. So, you know, these dates came once we started moving into, once we start praying. And that's what we do. We begin to pray. And we're asking God, what would you want us to do? God brings his download. That goes down into Africa. Africa makes the phone calls to us and says, hey, we want to do crusade on these particular days. And, you know, this April crusade, I mean, get this. I mean, Doc said, hey, look, I've never even been there in April. I don't even know what that looks like. What does that season look like? But we're being told that this is a good time for us to come. So that's what we're going to do. I haven't even researched what the climate is like in April in Tanzania. But look, we're being called to it. We're being called to it. We're becoming aware of the things that God has been putting upon our heart, right? Prepare yourself and arise. This is what Jeremiah says, verse 17. Prepare yourself and arise. Speak to them all that I command you. Don't be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. You wonder why Christians have trouble witnessing is because they become dismayed. They get shocked by the fact that people are rejecting them. Don't get rejected. Don't feel rejected when the word of God goes out and people roll their eyes at you. When your family members roll their eyes at you, you have to be able to stand firm. Otherwise, God's going to cause you to look silly in front of people. We don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for you. I want you to walk in power and might. Amen. Behold, he has made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and bronze walls. There's a lot there, right? But the challenge is, right? The challenge is, can you go forward and say, hey, look, I'm going to pray for you right now, to a coworker, take somebody out to lunch, you know, start spending time with people. Look, the time is so short right now. You understand how short the time is right now? I don't know what it looks like. 10 years? 7 years? What does it look like? You think we got another century? You think we got another 100 years here? You think there's going to be several more generations before the mark of the beast actually becomes the mark of the beast? That it's actually going to be happening? That it's going to be moving forward? You think that there's just something more that we don't understand right now? They're already talking about it. It's already happening. It's already moving. It's already moving within conversations that there are political parties and political people and technology that is working right now. Let me read it to you. Revelation 13, it says this. Then I saw another beast, verse 11, 13:11. This was written in 92 AD, okay? So this is written like 60 years after Jesus goes to heaven and he releases the Holy Spirit. But now it comes upon John to write these things down. Verse 11, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises. Hey, look, you know, who is this lamb? What are these two horns? What does it mean to speak like a dragon? That, don't get sidetracked. We don't know the answer to that. But what we do know is this, is that he exercises, verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he causes the earth, those who dwell in it, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he does what? Verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that that image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. If you do not worship the image of the beast, you will be killed. That's verse 15. Verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Have you ever heard of that before? Has that ever come into your mind? Has that been something that you've thought about? Have you seen the technology that's behind that? Did you click into something on Facebook or on YouTube that talked about that? Have you ever done that? Have you ever had a conversation with another person about the mark of the beast and what that can look like? Do you know what that can look like right now? Do you have a hint as to what it can look like right now? Because I do. And I think that you do too. He causes them, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except for the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 17, have you heard anything about that? Have you heard anything about being able to buy or to sell? Have you heard anything about going to a restaurant and you're not able to buy or to sell? Have you heard about this? Because that's a real thing. That you have to have some kind of a card now to be able to go into a restaurant, to receive services, to go into venues. You have to have a card. What would be next? I lost my card. What am I supposed to do? Well, how about a digital form of that card that you could put on a phone? What would that look like? Well, what if we didn't have phones anymore? What if I lost my phone? Well, what about a chip? What about a RFD? A radio frequency device that would allow you to transmit an image right onto a device that says, hey, let me in. I've been vaccinated. Let me in. I've been approved by the beast. I've been approved by the government. I've been approved by whatever that entity is, right? That no one may be able to buy or sell except for one who has the mark or the name. It's the mark or the name. It's not just the mark. It's the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And here's wisdom, verse 18. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So we're talking today about being challenged. That's the word, to be challenged, to make or present a challenge. I'm putting it out there. It's time to start field testing. Start field testing it. Start bringing the things of God before the people that the Lord has surrounded you with. Who are the persons of peace? The people that come and when you say, hey, can I pray for you? Or I'd like to pray for you right now. If they say, get away from me, then they're not a person of peace. And don't be offended by it. Well, what do you mean you won't want? No. Move into it. Move into that place. Be a part of what it is that God is releasing for you to do. Sin needs to be eradicated. Sin is a spiritual cancer. Sin is the forerunner that brings cancerous things into your body. We've been called to heal the sick. That doesn't mean just people with physical ailments. How about mental instability? I know a number of people that have been set free from being bipolar. They do not take medication anymore. I know a person who's been set free from schizophrenia, does not take medication anymore. I'm telling you that these are spiritual oppressions. Now, the medical industry and big pharma, they're here to tell you that you can't live without their product. And Jesus is here telling you that you can. So the challenge is, who are you going to believe? I have a good friend of mine that said to me, hey, look, you know, there are regimens that we have to get on as people. Either you're going to be on a regiment of what the doctor has for you, or you're going to get onto the regiment what the spirit has for you. Either you're going to be on the regiment what the flesh wants for you, or you're going to be on the regiment that the spirit has for you. Either you're going to be on the regiment what the devil has been assigning to your life, or you're going to get a regiment and to understand what God has assigned to your life. Jesus gave us the ability to become perfect, to become a holy nation, to become a priest that can intercede, that can do the work that Jesus did while he was here on the planet. He put into the Holy Spirit to put into us so that we would do the work that Jesus did. Being delivered from the pain of sin. Sin has pain. It has mental consequences. It has physical consequences. Sin carries a burden all on its own that God does not have to do anything about. When you talk about when God comes in to bring judgment, it is what sin is really doing. Sin all alone, all by itself, can bring judgment onto you. Look at it this way. If I decided today to go down to Minneapolis and start huffing on a crack pipe, it wouldn't be God that would be punishing me. I would be smoking crack, and it would begin to deteriorate and to destroy my life. I don't need anything else. God doesn't have to bring punishment on me. Sin does that. Participating in it, being around and carousing and sleeping around and drinking and doing drugs and thinking violent thoughts, they all carry a consequence apart from what God is bringing, a wrath. That's a whole nother thing. We want to become a blessing magnet. We want to be that good things come to us because of what and where we're sowing with our words, where we're sowing with our money, where we're sowing with our actions, and that when that comes back to us, it's not, hey, we're favored. No, when it comes back to us, we're reaping a harvest of what we've been doing good because we've been sowing correct seed in the right ground, and therefore we receive it back. The power of a righteous man, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. You know, like I said, you know, being in this season of prayer and fasting right now has just caused me to open up my eyes, to be able to find and to discover the gift that God's given to me that I have no problem doing. I could do it for 4 hours a day. I could do it for 10 hours a day. And it is just comes natural to me. That's the thing. Those are things that God has placed into you as well. There's a natural part of how God has weaved you together. Maybe you're an artist. Maybe you're an engineer. Maybe you're a phlebotomist. Maybe you're a medical guy. Maybe you're a guy that's saturated in technology. You have the understanding to be able to write machine code or software. Or maybe you have the ability to know and to calculate and to become an accountant and to do accounting things. Those are all things, all this stuff. It's all written in the Word. It's all out there. And it has unfolded its way into this century, into here, into right now. You have to resist the push from others to be something else. God's called you to be a certain way and to move in a certain way and to be a part of something. If you're just driving to deliver food, that is not what God has called you into. He has not called you to be a person that delivers food in your car. That's not a calling from God. There's something greater. There's something bigger. There's something more to what God has called you to do. There is a whole world out there right now that needs to be evangelized. There's a whole world out there right now that are they've been broken by the effects of sin, and they need to come into repentance. Having a heightened awareness because of prayer and fasting, because you're starving off the flesh and you're feeding the Spirit, brings you into a spiritual appetite where you start to receive and to hear, and you become more sensitive to the things of the Spirit. Here's another thing, and I'll let you go with this, and that is just to be able to release the joy of the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever done that anywhere. You know, some people are kind of funny. You know, I'm always leave them laughing kind of guys. But releasing the joy of the Lord, some guys do this very well. And you can do it too. Rodney Howard Brown is a guy that likes to release joy. And people start to laugh. And they start to laugh. Hear me. They start to laugh because there's a healing that's going on the inside. It says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And what does joy manifest as? What does joy look like? What does joy sound like? What does the physical manifestation of joy look like? Be in pursuit of that. Be in pursuit of the joy of the Lord, because that will be your strength. I'm Pete Cooper with Heart of the Father Ministries. We're located in Rush City. You can reach us at info@heartofthefather.net. You can call us at 320-566-1144, or you can snail mail us at P.O. Box 300, Rush City, Minnesota 55069. Blessings over you in Jesus' name.